A morning. Today's daf in Krisus Yotes. We're on Yerches Amud Beis, a little more than halfway down the Amud. We're beginning with the words today, Mesiv Rav Idi Bar Avin, a challenge. A challenge obviously means we're in the middle of a discussion. The Gemara yesterday opened up the discussion, two major issues that were discussed in the course of yesterday's daf. We just started yesterday the fourth parak of the Masechta. Fourth parak opened up with the topic of Hashem Talui. Person possibly violated an Issur Kares. He is not sure. There are two pieces of meat in front of him. One was chalev and the other was shuman. Okay. More accurately, more two pieces of fat in front of him. One was chalev and the other was shuman. He ate one of those two pieces. He does not know which piece he ate. And so now there is a very good chance, 50% chance, that he violated an Issur Kares. So under those circumstances, he brings his special carbon to Yashem Teller. So we already introduced it yesterday. The two big topics that we discussed yesterday is as follows. Number one, this suffix, does it have to be generated from two separate pieces like I just described? Or would it be sufficient if the suffix came from one piece alone? We don't know what that one piece was. You didn't have the identity of that piece and you ate it. And now there's no chance of birur. There's no chance of discovery. There was no kviyas isser, like the Gemara pointed out yesterday. The various explanations within the sheet of Rav. That's a major machlokus amongst the Amoraim, whether I require shtei chatichos or would it be sufficient with chaticha achas. That was discussion number one yesterday. That covered a lot of yesterday's daf. And then the Gemara transitioned yesterday to another machlokus, and that's the following chiluk malachos. I didn't mean that. I mean I did, but. Not exactly chiluk malachos. Chiluk chataos, the division of a carbon chatas. So I know in the third paragraph we discussed this extensively. What exactly is going to divide one iser from another iser? So that if I did each one of them bishogeg, I'd be chayv a carbon chatas on each one of them. So what is a division? So going back to the third paragraph, we all know. That shemos are muchlakim, and gufim are muchlakim, and yediyah is going to be mechalek. So these are the things that we know are going to be mechalek between one iser and another iser. So as far as yediyah is concerned, the classic example of yediyah is as follows. You ate chalev, having forgotten that chalev is asr. Now you remember that chalev is asr. Then you've forgotten you ate chalev again. So that yediyah ben tayim, that yediyah that you had in between, the waking up, so to say, that, oh no, what I did was wrong. Okay. So that's a yediyah, and that's going to separate action number one and action number two. And therefore, you're going to have to bring a carbon chatos on action number one, action number two. That's a given. That we established back in the third parak. What are we discussing today? Yediyah suffik. What if the idea is not an absolute idea, but I may have violated an Isser, I may have violated an Isser, so is that enough of an idea in order to create a break between one action and another action? This, as we learned, is a discussion slash debate, and this is what we're in the middle of discussing. You remember yesterday, Rabbi Zera said that Rebbe is of the opinion that Yediyah Safik is going to be Mechalik. Just to be a little bit clearer, a Yediyah Safik is going to be Mechalik between one Hashem Talui and another Hashem Talui. That the Gemara doesn't have a discussion about. Why? Because the whole very nature of Hashem Talui is suffik. So since the nature of Hashem Talui is suffik, if I have a Yediyah suffik for sure is going to be mechalik between one and the other. That's clear. What is not clear and open for discussion in the Gemara is, what about a Yediyah suffik going to be mechalik between a Vadai and a Vadai? Now, it's a little bit strange. How do you have a Yediyah suffik between a Vadai and a Vadai? So the case is as follows. I can just give a simple scenario. You possibly ate chalev, you're not sure. And then what happens is that then you realize that you possibly ate. Again, that's the yediyah suffik. Then what you do after that is that you eat again. In another halama, you eat chalev again. Going back to the first time now, you made a discovery that it wasn't a suffik. You for sure ate chalev. So now you're in the situation where you're going to be chayv. You're going to be chayv one chatos or two chatos. Well, you did have a yediyah bein tayim. You did have a yediyah separating the two, but the yediyah wasn't a yediyah vadai. The yediyah only was a yediyah suffik. So that would be an example scenario in which we are entertaining now this discussion. Is yediyah suffik going to be mechalik between one and the other? This is the Gemara's discussion. Rabbi Zera said within Rebbe knew. The yediyah suffik is in fact going to be mechalik between one and the other. Rebbe wasn't on board with Rav Zera. He disagreed. And this is the back and forth that we saw in the Gemara yesterday. With all that stated now, we're going to continue right where we left off. Yesterday, on Yud Ches Amud Beis, Mesiv Rav Idi Bar Avin, following challenge from a Braisa. Alchav Shasa Behalam Achas, you ate and drink, and you did so with one halama. We're talking about on Yom Kippur. So obviously on Yom Kippur, there's an Isser that one is not allowed to eat, one is not allowed to drink. Obviously, we're discussing in our context. That means that if one does so B'Shogeg, it would bring about a chiv carbon chatas, and so he ate and he drank. So for eating and drinking, you're only going to be chayv one. So Eino Chayv Alachatas Achas. Now V'Habein Achil L'Shiyeh Efshad Lo Havishas B'Yam Dimisyad Elei V'Kipur Lei D'Yam HaKipur and B'Makam Hashem Talukai. So we're going to go back to the point that we made yesterday, that when it comes to the day of Yom Kippur, the day of Yom Kippur behaves like an Hashem Talui. Just like an Hashem Talui is going to clear you up for all your sfeikos, so the day of Yom Kippur is also going to clear you up for all of your sfeikos. And to which the Gemara now points out, so if you ate and drank, so let's think about it. So you eat, obviously eating and drinking cannot be done at the same time. So you eat, then pause, now you drank. Now between that pause, there existed Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur serves basically as the Hashem Talui. Since it basically serves as the Hashem Talui, it's equivalent to a Suffolk Yidia. So here we have a scenario where you ate, you drank, you had a Suffolk Yidia Beintayim, that's the nature of Yom Kippur, and yet, the Brisa says very clearly, how many chatos do you have to bring? Only one carbon chatos. And you only have one carbon chatos. The Gemara now is going to articulate exactly this question. If, in fact, you think that Yediya Safik is going to be mechalik lechatos, lichayev shtei chatos, so you should be on the hook for two carbon chatoses. So Amri be Rebbe Zera, I'm sorry, Amri, ki Amri Rebbe Zera le Rebbe. So the Gemara says, look, Rebbe Zera didn't make the observation. But Rebbe Zera made the observation within the Shita of Rebbe. HaRabbanan hi, the Brisa we just quoted, it's a Brisa. Anonymous Brisa doesn't have to be going like Rebbe, could be going like the Chachamim. And we know that even according to Rebbe Zera, the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe. So fine, so just simply align that Brisa like the Chachamim. Gemara says that in of itself would have been a good answer, but we know better. How do we know better? Because we know the end of the Brisa. V'hamid say for Rebbe hi diktani. Excuse me. The end of the Brisa is for sure going like Rebbe for the following reason. The end of the Brisa writes, Shasatzir or Morias Pater. If you drink fish brine or fish hash, you're going to be Pater. These are not considered foods. They are the, I'm not saying this from a definitional standpoint, but it's basically the jelly in the jar of the gefilte fish. Terrible, terrible visualization, but everyone knows what I'm talking about. But what if you just drink vinegar, straight vinegar? Straight vinegar doesn't sound that appealing. However, according to this brisa, now the brisa doesn't say beferish, but the diuk is, because since the brisa is giving you things that are not considered, right, the most non-food foods that are not considered achil and yom kippur, so by the brisa not mentioning vinegar, so it sounds like vinegar, you'd be chayav. Umani Rebbe hi detanya. Now it happens to be that we know the sheet of Rebbe when it comes to drinking vinegar on Yom Kippur. According to the Tanakhama, vinegar does not provide any kind of peace of mind, and you're not violating Yom Kippur by drinking vinegar on Yom Kippur. Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, Chometz Meshiv Esanefesh. Rebbe disagrees. He says that vinegar is Meshiv Esanefesh. One would be in violation of drinking vinegar on Yom Kippur. We have now just established that this Brisa is going like Rebbe. Now, Umi Desefer Rebbe, Reisha Nami Rebbe. So now the obvious assumptions, which is that if the end of the Brisa is like Rebbe, so is the beginning of the Brisa. And now we have a problem because now we subscribe that according to Rebbe Zera, I know it's a lot of pieces of information, but according to Rebbe Zera, within the Shita of Rebbe, he holds that not only is a Suffolk Yidi going to be Mechalik, but even a Suffolk, not even a Vanda Yidi is going to be Mechalik, but even a Suffolk Yidi is going to be Mechalik. We now know that according to Rebbe Zera, that's the Shita of Rebbe. The problem is that we just have a scenario in which on Yom Kippur you ate, paused, you drank. That pause in between is Yom Kippur by itself. Yom Kippur by itself is tantamount to a Suffolk Yediyah. You should be, according to Rebbe, Chayv Tu Chatos. And the price is going like Rebbe, as we just established. That's a problem. Amri Sefer Rebbe Reisha Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, look, it's not an elegant answer, but I'll say that the beginning of the Brisa is going like Rebbe. The end of the Brisa by vinegar, on the topic of vinegar, is going like Rebbe. The beginning of the Brisa is going like the Chachamim. Eisvei Rava. Achal ayom achal lamachar. Nen ayom nen lamachar. Achal ayom nen lamachar. Nen ayom achal lamachar. Ve'afilu mikan va'al shalosh shanim. Minayin shehin mitstarfim ze im ze. The Gemara goes through various scenarios where you have disjointed hanaz from Hektesh. Getting benefit from Hektesh is Nisr of Me'ilah, and there was a separation of time, a lag of time, even upwards of 3 years. Now, when it comes to Achila, so we all know that it has to be Kedei Achilas Pras, which is somewhere in the range of 2 to 9 minutes. 3 years, obviously, is a slight longer lag of time than the 2 to 9 minutes. So when it comes to the Isra of Me'ilah, since the Isra of Me'ilah is not an Isra in Achila fundamentally, But rather, the issur of me'ila is that we're not allowed to get benefit. You're stealing from hektesh. So when it comes to stealing, stealing accrues, even over the course of time. So I take a little bit from you, I take a little bit from you, it doesn't matter whether I am stealing from you incrementally, and even if the separation of time is years apart from one another, obviously we can take that and we can take the aggregate total. Here too, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking the aggregate total. So Mitzarfin Zemza Tamalam or Tim'ol Ma'al Reba. So we have a Reba in the Pasuk that tells us that when it comes to Me'ila, they can combine. Ve'amai ha'kipur ala yom ha'kipurim. So once again, here we are with the same question, which is that we're going to combine an act that was done 3 years past and now. Now, 3 years past and now, we're going to go through at least two Yom Kippurs, at least. And so, Yom Kippur is going to be an Ashem Talui. It's going to be the equivalent of a Safek Yediya. And so, therefore, it should be Mechalik, according to Rebbe, at least the way Rebbe Zera presents it. Gemara says beautifully. Gemara says, look, as far as Rebbe's concerned and his position regarding Safek Yediya, so it would in fact separate the two. That's true. However, that's only when it comes to Isser. But when it comes to Mammon, when it comes to money, it's not going to separate the two. It's not going to provide a kapara. That is one way to distinguish it. And if you think about it, really, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, the Gemara says it. So we have to make sense of it. But it makes sense. It's intuitive. Because when it comes to an Isser, so that's you, that's Bein Adam Lamakom, that's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the rules that operate, what separates and what doesn't separate, so that obviously is going to be limited to the rules of what whether your deal is going to be mechalik or not. I steal from you. What are you going to say to me? Oh, but you know, there was a Yom Kippur in between. You're right, and then the right. And not only is the Yom Kippur going to be in between, but it's a suffix idea. Oh, you know what? You're right. You didn't steal from me. No, you stole from me. Beinam lechavero. So the Yom Kippur is not going to providing any kind of break in the action between one act of theft and another act of theft. That's true. But still, the base of Mikdash is viewed as it is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's you're stealing from the entity, from the corporation, if you will, of the base of Mikdash. Okay. You know, corporations have feelings too. I don't really mean that, but like in the context of a Gemara, maybe that's the way to understand. It's Gezel. The Gemara also makes another way to distinguish it. You know that Yediyah is going to be Mechalik, but Yediyah is Mechalik when you have a Shear and you have a Shear. And each one of them is their own independent Shear. But if I only did Chatzi Shear, so then the Yediyah is not going to be Mechalik. It's similar to what we discussed within the Sheet of Rami Gamliel just a couple of days ago. Right, the Sheet of Rami Gamliel is that a Yediyah, a Vada Yediyah, is not going to be Mechalik between a Chatzi Shear and another Chatzi Shear. Now, it's interesting because the Gemara over here doesn't say we are going like Rami Gamliel. Mm-hmm. It sounds like this idea that a Safek Yediyah is not going to be Mechalik is L'chulei Alma, or at least within the second answer of the Gemara. Okay. I'm going to breathe for just a moment. What we have right now is an assertion of Rebbe Zera that according to Rebbe, a Safek Yediyah is going to be Mechalik. What we've been doing since then is testing that theory. We've now quoted numerous brises that seem to subvert, but the Gemara defends Rebbe, or at least Rebbe Zera's understanding of Rebbe, and so we are right now standing on the position that a Safek Yediyah is in fact going to be Mechalik within the Shita of Rebbe as understood by Rebbe Zera. Continuing in the Gemara, we're not changing topic, we're on same topic, new set of Amoraim that are brought in to discuss this topic. Reish Lakish says that he's in agreement with Rebbe Zera. This is the proper understanding of Rebbe, that a Safek Yediyah is going to be Mechalik, not only between Hashem Talui and another Hashem Talui, but even between Echatas and Echatas. Rebbe Yochanan Amar Ein Yediyah Safek Mechalkos Echatos. And Rebbe Yochanan says, I disagree, I don't think that's right. Elahachi ketani, kishem she'im haisa lo yediyah vadai, maybe akol achas v'achas, kachim haisa lo yediyah safek, maybe asham talui, akol achas v'achas. Proper way to understand Rebbe is just simply, look, just like a vada yediyah is going to separate chataos, a safek yediyah is going to separate asham talois. That's all Rebbe meant. But the safek yediyah cannot be mechalek a chataos. Okay. Bishlam al Rav Yochanan, hainu dekat tali l'asham mechatas. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, so it makes a lot of sense, in which the Asham is being compared to the Chatas. Ela Reish Lakish, Chatas be Asham mi Ba'elei. But according to Reish Lakish, the Chatam should be compared to the Asham. Because according to Reish Lakish, what's the baseline? The baseline is Safik Yediyah. Safik Yediyah is Mechalik. And how should the sentence read according to Reish Lakish? Just like a Safik Yediyah is going to be Mechalik by an Asham Talui, and everybody agrees to that, so too a Safik Yediyah should be Mechalik by a Chatas. So it should be that the Asham Talui is your baseline, and the extension would be the Chatas. That's not what Rebbe said. Rebbe went in the other direction. So it works out better according to Rav Yochanan, less better according to Reish Lakish. Kasha, the Gemara says you're right. That's difficult. Okay, I admit. V'rami de Rav Yochanan, de Rav Yochanan, v'rami de Reish Lakish, de Reish Lakish. Here we go. The Gemara now is going to point out, we're going to learn a Brisa together. This Brisa, in of itself, is already challenging. But then, even after that, we're going to then have the Amorayim weigh in on the Brisa. And after learning the Brisa, and after learning the way Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish learned the Brisa, what's going to come out? Stira. Between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan, and a stira between Reish Lakish and Reish Lakish. So, to get to this point, we have to first hit the Brisa, then learn how the Amorayim learned the Brisa, and then you'll see that's going to be a stira. Okay, so a lot of steps to get through the next piece of Gemara. Ditanya, the Gemara's Brisa deals with the following scenario, Shnei Shvilim, Echad Tami ve'Echad Tahor. The construct case over here should sound familiar. We dealt with this a lot in Pesachim when dealing with Tumah Tahara. There were two paths. One path is Tameh, the other path is Tahor. Tameh meaning, simply, there was a grave that was buried along the path, along one of the paths. We just simply don't know which one of the two paths. But we know for sure it's buried along one of the paths. So if I walk down one path, the person remains Tahor. If he walks down the other path, he's Tameh. And he walks down, Shnei Shvilim Echad Tameh ve'Echad Tahor v'Halach B'Rishon. He walks down one path, v'lo nichnas, and he hasn't gotten into the Beis HaMikdash yet. Meaning becoming Tameh in of itself, not an Isser. When does it become an Isser? When you're Tameh and you go into the Beis HaMikdash. If you're Tameh, you go into the Beis HaMikdash. So if you do so, b'shogeg, meaning you knew you were Tameh, and then you lapsed into unawareness, and you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, this is what's called being Metameh Mikdash. Tumas Mikdash is the topic that we discussed in Shavuos extensively. Now, the simplest way to present it is that in order to have Tumas Mikdash, so you had to have been aware beforehand that you were Tameh. After having gone into the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be aware again that you were Tameh. In between, you lapsed into unawareness, and that's why you walked into the Beis HaMikdash. We're not talking about a mezid, we're talking about a shogeg. But you need a halam on the front and a halam on the other end. If, in fact, you are a match, you were nelam, then you were aware, then nelam. Walk into the Beis HaMikdash, walk out, become aware again under those circumstances. So now you have to be mechaper. What is the kapara? The kapara is a carbon olav yored. It's one of those fluctuating carbonas that I mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayikra, where depending on your financial status, that's the kind of carbon you're going to bring. I'll call it right now simply carbon chatas, but to be a little more specific, it's a carbon olav yored. So in this brisa, we're going to go through numerous scenarios. Scenario number one, you walk down the first path, you walk down the second path, i.e. you walk down both paths, v'nichnas, and now you go into the Beis HaMikdash, chayev. Now you're going to be chayev, meaning at one point in time you knew that you walked down both paths, you knew you were Tameh, you happened not to know which path made you Tameh, but that doesn't matter, you knew you were Tameh, now going into the Beis HaMikdash while being in a state of shogeg is going to incur the carbon. That is scenario number one. Now the next part of the Brisa is a little bit tricky because as you see we have parentheses coming up. We are going to skip the parentheses, although to be fair, it seems like from Rashi he had the parentheses, but I'm just going to make it a little bit easier, a little more streamlined, so I'm going to skip it. Because what the parentheses do really is it introduces another case, but just to keep it simple, I'm going to go skip that case and go right and start reading before the parentheses, pick it up right afterwards, and I'm going to treat this now as one more case. The Halach Barishon, you go down the first path, V'nichnas, and now you go into the Beis HaMikdash. So, being that you only went down one path, and being that we know, here's what we know. Of those two paths, one of them has a kever. One of them has a mace. We don't know which one. So right now, there's a 50% chance that you're Tameh, but that's obviously suffix. That's not a vadai. Now you go into the Beis HaMikdash. Skip parentheses. Vihiza vishana v'tavon. And now, afterwards, you went through the process of purification. In other words, you didn't want purification because you may be Tameh. purification doesn't hurt anybody, although the truth of the matter is, it does make the person who's purifying you tamei, right? That's the nature of paraduma. It's tamei taharim and metahir tameim. But anyway, v'hiz v'shan v'taval. So now you got sprinkling, repeated sprinkling. That's day 3, day 7. You then on day 7 tovel in the mikvah. So now you're clean. V'halach b'sheni v'nichnas. And now you go into the second path, and now you go into the Beis HaMikdash. So under those circumstances, you would be chayiv. You'd be liable. You'd be liable the carbon olav yoreid. Now that's difficult to understand. Right. Right. It's difficult to understand you'd be chayiv. This is a case of suffek. So hold that question. Rabbi Shimon poter bezu. Rabbi Shimon says in such a case, you'd be poter. Why? This is easy to explain. And I will do so with the help of Rashi. Take a look at the Rashi on top of your Testament Aleph. Dishnei tumas nenu, akol chada v'chada kenisa ika lamemer shevils dehu tar. Because in this scenario, you went into the Beis HaMikdash on two separate occasions. After each time, after going after one of the paths, you went into the Beis HaMikdash. And so now this is a case of suffik. V'hilkach leka yidia v'dais b'tchila uv'tumas mikdash b'inan yidia b'tchila uv'sof. Now, when it comes to Tumas Mikdash, you need a Yediya, both at the front and on the back, and like I explained earlier. V'halam bein time, and you need the shogig in the middle. V'tanakam d'mechayim mefarsh tamei l'kamen. And Rashi says, so the position, Rabbi Shimon over here, is easy to explain. The Tanakama, Rashi says, stay tuned, because that's going to be the Gemara's question. How could the Tanakama possibly say that you would be chayv under such a circumstance? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda poter bikulan. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says that you're going to be potter in all of the above cases, even the first case. He says you're going to be potter, even though you ended up walking down both paths. Rabbi Shimon potter bezu. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda potter bekula mishum Rabbi Shimon. And then the Gemara says that there are two versions of Rabbi Shimon. There's the first version of Rabbi Shimon. I guess we'll call it the Tanakhama's version of Rabbi Shimon. And then there's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's version of Rabbi Shimon, which says that you're putter in all of the cases, ve'afila b'kamais, and even in the first case as well. Okay. So, we have, now the way I'm going to present it, two scenarios. I understand there really could be three scenarios if I would have read the parentheses. But we really have two scenarios over here. And the two scenarios are, in the first scenario, I walk down the first path, I walk down the second path separately, I then go into the Beis HaMikdash. So, in the first scenario, the Braisa says you're going to be chayiv. And it seems that there's no debate on that issue. Seems that way. However, then the Braisa gives us a second case. In the second case, I walk down the first path. I then do the process of Tahara. I walk down the second path. And then afterwards, I go into the Beis HaMikdash. A machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakhama says that you would be chayiv. Difficult position to understand. Rabbi Shimon says you're going to be potter. An easier position to understand. And then the Gemara says that there's a second version of Rabbi Shimon. That when Rabbi Shimon says potter, you're going to be potter in all of the above cases, including the first case. Now, that first case, there, that's a really difficult position to defend, where I walk down both paths, and then I go into the Beis HaMikdash. You know your tamei. So how can there be a position that would state that under such circumstances you'd be chayv a carbon olav yored, how can there be a position that you're exempt from the carbon olav yored, and you were not metamei mikdash? You were metamei mikdash. Seemingly, Amar Rav Hachem b'Maiskin and Kegon Shalach Berishon v'Shasi Lucho b'Sheni Shachach Shalach Berishon. So the Gemara says, so what we have to do in the first case is we have to provide a little more context of what happened. The details are just a little bit more. Notably, here's what happened: you went down the first path, and you are now about to walk down the second path. While you were walking down the second path, you forgot that you walked down the first path. So what do we have over here? A slight absence of yediyah. Okay, in other words, this is similar to, it's not exactly, but it's similar to a yediyah suffik. So shachar shahalach barishon ova hapligi. Tanakama savra mixas yediyah ki yediyah damya. So according to the Tanakama, that mixas yediyah. Because over here now you only have partial information. The mixas yediyah, because when you walk down the second, you forgot that you walked down the first. So this is what's called mixas yediyah. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that mixas yediyah is now is going to be considered yediyah. And so therefore, when you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, did you have a yediyah on the front end? So the Tanakhama would say yes, even though it wasn't a perfect yediyah. Because when you walk down the second path, you totally forgot about the first path. So right now you're thinking, maybe tamei. and then you go into the Beis HaMikdash, and then you come out. And then after having come out, now you remembered, oh yeah, that's right. I went down first path and second path. So, but nevertheless, at the time when you were Metame Mikdash, that was a Miksas Yediyah. A Miksas Yediyah, and yet, the Tanakhama says you're going to be Chayav. Rabbi Shimon Sofer Miksas Yediyah Lavki Yediyah Damya. And Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says that a Miksas Yediyah is not considered a Yediyah, and so therefore you do not have a Yediyah before, and you do not have a Yediyah. You do not have a definitive Yediyah beforehand. You did have a Yediyah afterwards, but still it's not going to qualify for the Karban Olav Yorid because you need definitive Yediyah before and after. Okay. So far, we're not there yet. We're getting there. So far, we have a couple of cases over here in the Braisa about walking down two paths. One of them is Tame, one of them is not. You don't know which one you walk down. You walk down both. In the two cases, in the first case, you walk them down with doing nothing in between, so you're for sure Tame. In the second case, you were Matar yourself after you walked down the first path. Then you walk down the second path, and then you go into the Beis HaMikdash. And so what we have is a machlokas tanaim, exactly whether or not you're chayv karban olav yored. And so far we've explained the position, the first case, and the position of the Tanakhama. It could be the Rabbi Shimon argues on the first case, at least within one version of Rabbi Shimon. Amar mar, halach berisha menichnas vihiza v'tava halach v'shen v'nichnas v'chayv. Amai chayv halav hava yediya. So the Gemara says, let's go now to the second case of the Braisa, the case that was complete, that was confusing to us. You walk down the first path. After having done so, you went through the Torah process. You now then walk down the second path. You then walked into the base of Mikdash. So the Tanakhama says, you were Metame Mikdash. You were Metame Mikdash. You're not Tame. You may be Tame, but you're not definitively Tame. And you're Chayiv, a carbon, Olav, a Yared. So, and that is, you did not have Yediyah. There was only a question. I'm Reish Lakish. So we're going to have now two answers to this question. The two answers are going to be Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. And now we're getting even closer, because based on the answers that are given by Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, it's going to be a stira to the way Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish were originally presented before the Braisa. Am Reish Lakish Hamani Rebbe Shmalhi Delabai Yediyah Betzchila. So Reish Lakish says, okay, I'll give you this solution. How could it be that you would be Chayev, a carbon olav yored under such circumstances? The author of this Braisa is Rebbe Shmal. I take us all the way back to Shavuos, which admittedly was some time ago. And in Masech Teshuvos, we learned together, in the first two parakim, where we talked about Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav, that there is a Shita Rebbe Yishmal, that to be Chayv Karban Olav VeYared, so you do not need a Yediyah B'Tchila, you only need a Yediyah B'Sof. Fine. That's the opinion of Rebbe Yishmal. So Reish Lakish says that our Braisa over here subscribes to that position. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilatem Rabbanan. My Asu Safik Yediyah, Ki Yediyah. And Rav Yochanan says, I'll tell you no. You don't have to tell me that this Braisa over here is going like Rabbi Shmuel, which is a Das Yachid. You could tell me that this Braisa over here is going like the Shita of the Chachamim, that to be Chayv Karban Olav Yored and Tumas Mikdash, you need Yediyah on the front end and Yediyah on the back end. However, over here, it's a Suffolk Yediyah, count it. Count that as a Yediyah. A Suffolk Yediyah is going to be treated like a Yediyah. Now, if you've been following, what comes out now is that the conclusion over here of Rav Yochanan's understanding of the Braisa is the opposite of the way Rav Yochanan was originally presented. If you look back down at the bottom of the previous Amud, and you look at Rav Yochanan says, Ein Yediyah Safek Mechalkos, that a partial Yediyah is not going to divide between one act and another. Over here, Rav Yochanan is arguing on behalf of this Braisa that the Safek Yediyah that you had does in fact qualify enough as a Yediyah. Okay. Now, Salka Dacha Kan Asu V'Hu Adin L'Chol HaTorah Kula. Now, the Gemara says, look, in order to generate the question, we have to make an assumption. The Gemara spells it out. Now, here we're talking about Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. Could it not be that this is just a local halacha over here, and it doesn't reflect Kol HaTorah Kula? Well, the Gemara is assuming right now, no. The Gemara says that this is a general position Rav Yochanan throughout Shas. But if that's true now, Kasha de Rav Yochanan, de Rav Yochanan, Kasha de Reish Lakish, Ad Reish Lakish. So that now represents a stira. Bishlam de Rav Yochanan de Rav Yochanan lo kasha kanasu b'chol haTorah kula lo. Now, as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, here's what we could say: this halacha Rav Yochanan, in his explanation of the Braisa about Tumas Mikdash, is specific to Tumas Mikdash and does not apply to Kol haTorah kula. Now, you have to say why the Gemara is going to do so. My time ahachi gabi Tumas ksiv v'nelam mi menu v'hu tameh. It was hidden from him, and he becomes tameh. Yediyah, the isba nami safek chayev, kara. Ava bechola tarkula ksiv ohoda elav chataso. Yisla yediya hu demechayev, hu demechayev. So when it comes to the pasuk describing Tumas Mikdash to Torah, does use a word of yediya, v'nela mimenu v'hu tame, meaning that what was concealed from him, any concealment from him is going to result in him having to bring a carbon olah v'yoreid. It would be considered a violation of Tumas Mikdash, even if it's a partial yediya. However, in general, when the Torah describes the yediya that's necessary for a carbon chatas, the Torah says, oh, hoda alav chataso. You had to have been known beforehand about the chait, meaning that the yediya that you had to be an absolute yediya. Isla yediya hu demechayev. So fine. So that's what we could say on behalf of Rav Yochanan. Okay, but now we still need to answer for Reish Lakish. Elder Reish Lakish kasha. Adamukim la karebi shma lukma karebi. So the Gemara says, now according to Reish Lakish, look, we had this brisa. The brisa was perplexing. Reish Lakish says, I'll tell you what the problem is. We know what the problem is. The brisa has a partial yediya, and what do we do with a partial yediya? And so what Reish Lakish said is, well, the brisa is going like Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara now wonders, you don't have to do that. You can tell me that vis-a-vis yediya, the brisa is subscribing to the position of the Chachamim. That to be chayv the carbon olah v'yoreid, you need yediya on the front and yediya on the back end. It could be that this brisa is going like Rebbe. Because remember, the assertion of Reish Lakish, like Rebbe Zera that we saw in yesterday's daf, is that Rebbe holds that a yediya suffik is in fact considered a yediya. So why not just simply say that this brisa is going like Rebbe? So the Gemara says, HaKamash Lander, Rebbe Shmuel, Nami lo ba yediya b'tchila. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, Reish Lakish could have done that. And that's fine, because that is the sheet of Reish Lakish. But Reish Lakish said, you know what, I want to use this opportunity to teach people about the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says that you don't need a Yediyah on the front end. I want people to know that. To which now the Gemara asks, Reish Lakish, you didn't have to broadcast that information. If you're learning Masechta Shavuos, you know that. It's the Mishnah in Shavuos. Hamastis and he did none. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Rabbi Yishmael Amar v'nealam shtei pa'amim l'chayev al alam tuma v'al halam mikdash. The double lashon of halam is not to tell me that I need a yediya on the front end and a yediya on the back end, but rather to tell me that there is two isurim of the Torah. One is of tumas mikdash, going into the base of mikdash while being tamei, and the other one is tumas kadashav, which is eating carbon while being tamei. But in terms of the yediya requirement, only on the back end, on the sof, but not on the front end. I want people to know that. The Gemara says, what do you mean, Reish Lakish, you want people to know that? If people wanted to know that, they opened up a Mishnah in Shavuos, and they would know that. So the Gemara says, Reish Lakish says, I don't think people would have concluded correctly. Why? It's the Resaka Dat Chaimina Mikra, Leislei, Me Gemara Islei. Reish Lakish says, look, I understand he's darshing Pesukim. Okay, so the Pesukim don't require Yediyah on the front end. Maybe the Pesukim don't, but maybe Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai does. Maybe the tradition is such that we're not darshaning it from the Pesukim, but rather we're getting it from Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. That's what people might have thought. So, Kamash Malan, what Reish Lakish wants to make clear is that is not the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds that there is simply no yediya requirement on the front end in order to successfully violate the Isser of Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya. Where have we landed on all this? So, on the topic of Shtei Chatichos, so it sounds like I mentioned yesterday, that the Gemara sides with the position that it has to be Shtei Chatichos in order to be Chayv Carbon Ashem Talui. On the issue of Yediyah Safek, so it seems to be a major machlokus amongst the Tanaim, amongst the Amoraim, whether or not Yediyah Safek qualifies. Rav Yochanan's position is that Yediyah Safek does not qualify as the Yediyah. Generally speaking, we do passing like Rav Yochanan. So if you ask me for an expectation, probably we would say that Yediyah Safek is not going to be Mechalik, nor will it serve as a Yediyah prior to going into the base of Mikdash, although the Gemara pointed out that even within the sheet of Rav Yochanan, you can make a distinction between Kol HaTorah Kula and Tumas Mikdash VeKadash based on the drashas. So there does exist that possibility. Okay. We start with the next Mishnah. We're on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, halfway down. The Mishnah is going to discuss the following. To be Chayv HaKarban Chatas, it's pretty straightforward. You have to have violated an Isser in the Torah, which if done b'mezid would be Chayv HaKareis, and you did a bishoking, and therefore you're going to be chayv karmen chatas. Additional, you have to know which issue you violated, seemingly. Meaning that when the discovery is made later that you violate an Isser, part of the discovery is that you know exactly which Isser you violated. What if you violated an Isser Kares, you just happen not to know which Isser Kares you violated? Would that bring about a Karban Chatzos, a requirement of a Karban Chatzos? And the Mishnah discusses. Chelev and Nosa lefanav. You have in front of you two pieces of meat. One is Chelev and the other is Nosa. I know Chelev is fat, but for our purposes, let's just call it meat. So Chelev and Nosa lefanav. You have two pieces in front of you. And v'achal echem mehem. And now you ate one of them. So you know for sure you ate one of them. V'eni yodei zemeh machal. But you don't know which piece you ate. Okay. The second case. Ish don't eat v'achosim ababayas. There are two women to you who are both prohibited, but for different reasons. One is your wife, but she's a nida, and the other one is your sister. And they're both with you, babayas. They're both with you in the house. And shakabachas man be'eni yodea, be'ezem em shak. Now they're both usher to you. You had relations with one of the two. You don't know which one you had. So so under those circumstances, again, same question. You violate an issue, you just can't pinpoint which issue. And both of them would incur the kari's penalty. So in the case of suffolk, they both would incur a carbon chat. No, I'm sorry. In the case of shogeg, they would both incur a carbon chatas. A third scenario. Shabbos v'yom kippur and v'asa malacha b'en ha-shmashos. So let's say you have Shabbos and Yom Kippur, which are contiguous to one another. In our modern calendars, that won't happen. Right. Fine. But that's our modern calendars. I say modern, I mean only the last 1,700 years. That's all. But once upon a time, this would happen. And so when you have Shabbos and Yom Kippur that are contiguous to one another, and what happens is that b'en ha-shmashos, as you're leaving one and entering the other, so you violate a malacha. Now, what did I violate? Did I violate Shabbos or did I violate Yom Kippur? I don't know. But either way, it would be b'shogeg and iser chat a karban chatas. So Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and v'asa malacha b'en ha-shmashos, v'en yodei b'ezem mehem asa. So the Mishnah gives us three scenarios. The Mishnah could have probably gotten away with giving us one scenario, but the Mishnah's point is that in all three scenarios, you violate an iser, you just don't know which one. Are you going to be chayv a karban chatas? Machlokes tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer mechayv chatas. Rabbi Eliezer says you will be chayv a karban chatas. Rabbi Yeshua poter. And Rabbi Yeshua says you're not going to be chayv a karban chatas. The drushas for both positions will be explored in the Gemara. Am Rav Yossi lo nechlegu ala osem malacha ben hashmasha shu poter. Rav Yossi would like to modify the machlokas of the tanaim that we just saw. I mean, Rav Yossi himself is a tana. But he must be a later Tana, modifying the positions of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. They're not going to be arguing when you did a malacha ben hashmasha, shu pater. They're both going to agree that under such circumstances you're going to be pater. Shani omer mixas asa ayom mixas asa lamacher. Because in the case of ben hashmashos, let's consider. This twilight period between days. So was it Shabbos or was it Yom Kippur? Let's say Yom Kippur was a Sunday. So was it Shabbos or was it Yom Kippur? So when I'm in this ben hashmashos period, that's exactly the point. I don't know when the calendar date changes during this Banish Mashos period. And it changes at one point in time or another. So over here, if I'm doing a malacha, there's also that very distinct possibility that part of the malacha was done on Shabbos and part of the malacha was done on Yom Kippur. So it's not necessarily that I either did it on Shabbos or I did it on Yom Kippur. I don't know which one. There's actually a third possibility, which is I did part of it on Shabbos and part of it on Yom Kippur. And although, obviously, not to be condoned, but you didn't violate a definitive Isser at all. And so Rav Yossi says, under such circumstances, I believe that Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer are not debating that issue. I'll still go with the example, but I'll modify the example. The example would be that I did a malacha today, I just don't know what today was. Was today Shabbos or what today was Yom Kippur? I knew it was one of those days, meaning, again, we could talk about where they were contiguous with one another. I knew it was one of those days. I just didn't know which day it was. I'll give you another example. You violated Shabbos, you just forgot which malacha. I was out in the field, and I either planted or I sowed. I don't know which one, but I did one of the two. So that would be another scenario in which we have a machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And just to spell it out, she Rabbi Eliezer mechayv chatas Rabbi Yeshua poter. Under those circumstances, so each one would take the corresponding position. Rabbi Eliezer says that even though you didn't know which Isser you violated, whether you violated Shabbos or Yom Kippur, or you didn't know which malacha you violated, so Rabbi Eliezer says, but look, you violated something. You know you violated something that either one of them would require carbon chatas. you have to bring a carbon chatas. And Rav Yeshua says that you're potter. I'm Rav Yehuda. Pocher haya Rav Yeshua, more modification by later Tanayim. Rav Yehuda says that Rav Yeshua is going to exempt in the following scenario, af me asham talui, even in the case of asham talui, meaning that according to Rav Yehuda, it's not really a modification, more like a qualification. That the according to Rav Yehuda, his understanding that Rav Yeshua's exemption is not limited to a vadai iser, but even a suffik iser as well, i.e. the asham talui. Rabbi Shimon of Rabbi Shimon Shizuri omrim lo nechliku ala ella. I'm sorry. Lo nechliku al davar shuhu mishem echad shu chayev. Ama nechliku al davar shuhu mishum shemos. The debate between the two of them is not when it's one iser, but rather when it's two iserim. She Rabbi Eleazar mechayev chatas Rabbi Yeshua poter. That statement of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri is going to be clarified better later on. I'm Rabbi Yehuda afilin eskaven lo kot te'enim velo kot anavim velikin anavim. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if the kavana was that you were planning on picking the figs, and instead of picking the figs, you picked the grapes. Anavim velike te'enim. Your intent was to pick the grapes, and instead you picked the figs. Shechoros velike levanos. Levanos velike shechoros. You were going after one colored grape, and by accident you went after the other colored grape. Rabbi Lazar mechayev chatas Rabbi Yeshua poter. Even in such a scenario, think now what we're describing. You are intent on violating an isser.
Right.
You are intent on violating that particular isser. But it just happens to be that circumstantially, you went after the item that you weren't intended on going after. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the isser, it's the same isser. Mm-hmm. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, under that circumstances, there'd still be a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yoshua. To say Rabbi Yoshua is poter in such a circumstance is really a chiddush. If you think about it, what a novelty. The idea that was the Isser that I was going after, and I knew it was Shabbos, I knew it was Usser, but it just happens to be that I wanted red grapes, and by accident, I took the white ones, or the green ones, whatever. I took a different color. And that wasn't my true intention. But in terms of your true intention, you were certainly intent on violating the Isser. Now again, all this is bishogeg, please understand, because we're talking about karbanos over here. So all this is bishogeg, but still, if there is a lapse of what you intended and what you did, if there's any incongruity between the two, so what we're arguing on behalf of Rabbi Yeshua is that that's going to create a patur. And even at this point in time, Rabbi Yehuda says, I've said too much. Now we have Amar Shimon, but probably let's take it out. V'tamia ani, I'm working with Rashi's Girsa. U'tamia ani im pater bat Rabbi Yoshua. I really can't imagine that Rabbi Yoshua would be poter in such a scenario. Im kein lamanem asher chataba, prat lemisasek. Now it's true, the Torah says asher chataba. You sinned in it. It does in fact sound like from the Torah that in order to bring about a carbon chatas, you have to be totally in agreement between your intention and your action. Sounds that way, but I'll just tell you that pasuk is coming to exclude the case of misasik. What's the case of misasik? Stay tuned. We're going to be discussing it extensively between today and tomorrow. Tanya, let's start with the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, manavshach, ichelav achol chayiv, inosar achol chayiv, yishto nida bal chayiv, achosa bal chayiv, yibishabas asa malacha chayiv, yibiyama kipurim asa malacha chayiv. So the Gemara over here in this Braisa is providing a very straightforward argument on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer. You had Chalev and Nosar in front of you. And the Chalev and Nosar are both presenting. You ate one of the two. You don't know which one you ate. Under such circumstances, Rabbi Eliezer says Chayev. And the argument is really simple. Mima nafshach. They're both Asar. You ate one. You happen to be unable to identify which one you ate. But you ate one of the two. So Amar Lo.
No. Because you don't know which one.
Okay, good. You don't know, but either one of them is going to be Nisr. Amar Lo Rabbi Yoshua Hareyu Omer Asher Chataba Ad Shiodea Lo Bamechata. And Rabbi Yoshua says, look, you're right. Your argument is right, but I have a drasha, and the drasha and the Torah teaches us Asher Chataba. The Ba means that you have to know with specificity which Isr you violated, even though you violated an Isr. But you can't identify which Isser you violated. So then under those circumstances, you're going to be putter from the carbon. Just one second. V'Rebbe Eliezer Haiba Mayavid Lei. According to Rebbe Eliezer, so what does he do with the drasha? So Pratla Misasik. So he says, well, what he does with the drasha is he applies it for a different halacha, notably the halacha of Misasik. So it, when it comes to exclude Misasik, and the Gemara now is going to explain. And Misasik Demai. Were we saying that it's coming to exclude Misasik? What are we describing over here? So we are now on your testament based increases, as we turn the page, going to get into the discussion of the very definition of misasik. Here's what we know for sure at this juncture. If you're misasik, you're not gonna be chayv to bring a carbon. Whether or not it's muta legamrei, well, it's kind of a funny question whether it's muta legamrei. The whole idea behind misasik is that wasn't your intent. But we could say definitively that a misasik is not chayv a carbon. That we know. What exactly is misasik? Well, let's see it through the Gemara and through Rashi. Now, if it's misasik by chalav and arayos, you're going to be chayv under those circumstances. Now, it's a question of the correct order of how to read the next lines of a Gemara. I'll read it like it's presented in the Gemara. It comes out to basically be the same point. You're going to be chayv by misasik chalav and arayos. Now, let's explain this a lot better. Look at Rashi on the top of the Amr, misasik by chalav and Rashi writes, Gagon, chalav shum and lafanov. So the scenario would be as follows. You have either chelev or shuman in front of you. So right now you were told of the two, and obviously you're going to make a choice. You have bechira chafshitz, we all do. And you know what? I'm going to make the right choice today. I'm going to eat shuman. That's my goal. And vihibit lamakam achir. Now while reaching for the shuman, you got distracted. Oh, we all get distracted. So you got distracted. And so now your hand goes in and picks up the chalev. And you ate the chalev. So this is not even going to elicit a carbon chatas. This is an example of misasik. Because you did not have intentionality. Now what I mean by that is that you didn't do what you thought you were going to do. Under those circumstances, that's misasik. Now the first example that Rashi gives, by the way, I think resonates with us very well. Meaning, that wasn't even what I wanted to do. That wasn't my intention. What I wanted to do was, which was something which is mutter. And by accident, I went for something which is aser. Okay, that's not even a shogig. You're not even chayv a carbon chatas. Now, again, now you understand why it's a silly question when I ask, is it mutter? What do you mean, is it mutter? Is it mutter to be distracted? and to do something that you didn't mean to do? I mean, you didn't mean to do it. So the question of whether misasik is mutter is kind of a... It's a silly question. Again, just give me a moment. I'm sorry. But Rashi then gives us another example. And the other example of Rashi is obviously a bigger chiddush. Inami, chelev v'chelev lefanav. V'savar shehu shuman. So the second example of Rashi is that the two pieces in front of you are chelev. But you thought that one of the pieces is shuman. And now, v'niskaben le'echol chaticha zu v'achol zu. Now you went for the piece that you thought was shuman. Now in actuality, it happened not to have been shuman. It happened to have been chelev. But in your mind, you thought it was Shuman. Now, if you went for the piece that you thought was Shuman and it wasn't, and you ate that piece, that's a classic example of Shogeg. And you'd be Chayv Karban Chatas. But that's not what you did. Here's what you did. You actually went past the piece that you thought was Shuman, and again, because you got distracted. And that wasn't your intent. And you went for the other piece. And neither of these cases, even the second case, which obviously represents a bigger Chiddush, neither of these cases is a case of shogeg. Because why? The shogeg hainu shinis kavin lechaticha zu atzma. In the case of shogeg, you had agreement between what you wanted to do and what you did. Now, the shogeg is because you were unaware. And there's a liability for being unaware. Meaning you didn't realize that that was chelev. You didn't realize that chelev is aser. In other words, you lapsed into unawareness. So for that, you're going to have to take the responsibility. But if there is not agreement between what you did and what you wanted to do, even though, think about the second case of Rashi, even though in the second case of Rashi, what you wanted to do was still wrong, but you weren't intent on doing something wrong, and on top of that, you didn't end up picking up the piece that you wanted. That is a case of misasik, not a case of shogeg, and so therefore you'd be putter from a carbon. Okay. In the case of chalavim and arayos, so misasik is going to be chayiv, meaning, I know I've been saying now for the last 5 minutes that misasik is going to be putter from a carbon. That's true in general. But it's not true when it comes to chelev and arayas. Why not? Rashi, mesasik by arayas, gagon. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to go through this Rashi right now. Rashi over here just goes through the other examples of mesasik, but when it comes to the is of arayas, right? See Rashi for a description of that. But it's going to be very similar to what we described regarding chelev. And the reason why mesasik is going to be chayv, even a chayv a karban, is because, and Phil guessed it, because both of them, there is hana, right. There's benefit. And somehow, and this requires a shear, an explanation in of itself, somehow the benefit you received is going to incur a carbon liability, even though misasik in general does not incur a carbon liability. Okay, so when it comes to chalavim and arayos, so misasik is going to be chayav. Back to the Gemara. Shekain nene. The Gemara spells it out because you got to know. The misasik with Shabbos. Now, when it comes to misasik on Shabbos, so my taima. So why would it be? Meaning you wouldn't be chayv by misasik on Shabbos because melachas machshavas asur Torah. So because we know that by Shabbos you have this requirement of melachas machshavas. And that means that Shabbos in of itself, regardless of the rest of Kala Torah Kula, Shabbos has this requirement of having intentionality. And once there is no agreement between what you wanted to do and what you did, so then on Shabbos you're going to be potter. But not because of misasik, but because on Shabbos you have melachas machshavas. So the Gemara says that still there's going to be a case of misasik even for Shabbos. Bein la'abayim, bein la'rava. Terrible place to stop. I'm stopping here. So the I'm sorry. So anyway, Abai and Rav are going to have a disagreement in terms of the parameters of misasik. What are the limits of misasik when it comes to Shabbos? And the Gemara says that we can fit in the cases of misaskim. Okay, let's quickly recap. We have in front of us today the conclusion of yesterday's discussion. How do we regard a Yediyah Safik? Is that considered a Yediyah, yes or no? Machlokis Tanaim, Machlokis Amarai. The Gemara opened up our discussion today with a question of Yuvaile and Isser. You just don't know which Isser you violated. Are you Chayv HaKamim Chatas? And Machlokis between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says you're Chayv, Rabbi Yeshua says you're Pater. On that, many modifications and qualifications in the Mishnah itself, under which, what would be the scope of this debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? And then the Gemara started off with giving us svaras behind the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer and the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua.